compassion itself.
Okay, now we're ready to look at definitions. Yeah? We'll start with the Dalai Lama. Compassion is sensitivity to the suffering of others and oneself, with a deep commitment to try to relieve it. Definition number two, Jamgon Kongtrul Rinpoche. He says compassion is counteracting ego clinging. Then I've quoted from Corin Armstrong, who's written quite a lot on the subject. She says it is an attitude of principled consistent altruism. Then we go to Confucius, going far, quite far back now. He says, never do to others what you would not like them to do to you. When you were children, did you read a lovely book called Tom and the Water Babies? Do you remember Mrs. Do As You Would Be Done By? Oh, was that it?
No, there was another one.
Oh.
Two of them.
Oh, who was the second?
I've forgotten who, but clearly the one was Do As You Would Be Done By, and the other was Be Done By As You Did.
Okay. Golden rule. Look into your own heart and see what gives you pain. Never inflict that pain on anybody. Let's go back to Confucius. He says, people should not put themselves in a special privileged category. But should relate their own experience to that of others. Should relate their own experience to that of others. All day, every day. Then he says, a person who practiced this would become a mature human being. So he concludes, compassion is inseparable from humanity. So he regards it as inherent in the human condition. It is inseparable from humanity. Instead of being motivated by self-interest, a truly humane person is consistently oriented to others. Okay, so The reason I started from the way from the aspect I have, which is looking at the situation, is because I want to avoid the inoperable objective. The inoperable objective. What that means is, I want to avoid presenting the subject in such a way that your mind perceives it as impossible. And that is so often done in this area of compassion. If we are presented with all these wonderful end products, the mind immediately has the sense of it's all too far above me and I can't do it. Have you ever had that feeling? You know, the word itself is too big. So we have to come right down to where we are, look at the ground situation, and then see how we can start working because we thoroughly understand the forces at play that we are having to work with. And as soon as we've got all this in place with our definitions, the absolute emphasis comes onto acceptance. The four reflections begin our training in compassion because they begin the process of exposing what is there so that we can come to terms with it. Then we start our acceptance practice. And the acceptance practice helps us get this deep sense that there's nothing wrong. We only get the feeling that there's something wrong if we feel we have to strive to be something we aren't or can't be. That then creates a sense of wrongness. But if we understand that we are all human beings and the human state is one of imperfection, then it's okay. It's okay to be imperfect. But now we're getting the understanding of how we can move forward without getting trapped in the inoperable objective. Okay.
But then people can make excuses for bad behavior.
They certainly can, yes.
Are you doing that?
Would you do that?
No, I'm well doing.
Then I'm okay, aren't I? Okay, have I been too heavy with all this stuff?
No. Huh?
All right,
thank you. This little story
I feel like. I'm feeling bad now, because I made it depressed.
It is funny though, Rob, because when we did that exercise, I did genuinely feel like a 9. I was like, I'd just sit there, I was not meditate, my back wasn't straight, I was just like, yeah. I feel all right. And then we went into it, now I feel about a 2.
I think you are a 9. But isn't that okay?
Yeah.
You know, we're not looking at some final achievement where you won the race or I lost. We're just trying to get a relaxed, open perspective on this condition of being human. So that we understand why we have a course on compassion. You know, if we were all perfect angels or whatever, we wouldn't need a course like this.
Something that strikes me over and over again, and I've heard you say it so many times, and that's the thing of, it's not wrong or bad, it's just how it is. And every time I hear it, it's as if I'm hearing it for the first time.
Because our minds have such powerful messages saying, I have to get it right. I have to be perfect. And anything I see in myself that is in any way fractionally short of perfection is full on disaster. You know, those messages are going in so many people's minds all the time. And make no mistake, you know, I'm greatly given to exaggeration, but when I said that, I wasn't exaggerating. The mind equates falling short of perfection with disaster. And I'll tell you exactly where it started. It started when you were little and you experienced conditional love. And the conditional love has a very clear message. Meet the conditions or the love will be withdrawn. And if you fall short in any way, disaster. Because if it's mother or father doing this, that's your world coming to an end. And very few human beings in our modern society have been brought up with unconditional love. Therefore, our fundamental attachment systems are chronically insecure. And therefore, we have this constant sense of striving, impending disaster, insecurity. But that's also okay.
It's a disaster.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Because what it's done is it's made us very neurotic. And neurosis is painful. And we can't avoid facing that pain. And that's what's caused us to seek a deeper solution. So you can be grateful for that.
Rob, I've tried blaming my parents, but that doesn't work.
No, good, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm not